I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out today. Father Charles Murr will be joining me. And we've got a great lineup. I really am impressed with what's happening up in San Francisco. We're going to be talking about the thousands of people that took to the streets when a rosary procession. Interesting, I know the day before, the mayor decided to make some adjustments regarding Catholics and visiting the Blessed Sacrament and going to church. So it's just like we say in our opening song, we have to stand up for Christ. Also, we're going to talk about a bishop in Colorado, Denver, and he's Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila, and he's saying it's not possible to be a Catholic in good standing and support abortion. So he's stepping out and speaking the truth in charity. It's just it's good to hear from our spiritual shepherds, because for many places, our shepherds are very quiet, and that's really sad right now that they're not speaking up in other places, but we want to encourage them to do that. Also, I'm going to have a special interview. There's a documentary movie that's coming out. It's out as of yesterday. It's called The Trump I Know.com, and it's regarding women and Trump and what they have to say about him. It's a side that you're probably not going to see too much of. Do I have Father Charles Murr on the line with us?
You do, kind sir.
God bless you, Father. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here, and we have a special feast day today, the Guardian Angel. I'm pumped about that. I have a line. I always say the unemployment rate for guardian angels is way too high. Put them to work. And so, Father Murr, this is a great feast day, and we have a special gospel from the Gospel of Matthew to proclaim. And then I want to hear from your perspective as a Catholic priest for 40 years. Give us some teachings on the guardian angel. So could you first read, we call it soul food here at Jesse and Terry, but the gospel according to Matthew 18, verse 1, 5 to 10.
An honor.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a child over, placed him in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven look always upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful. Okay, Father.
Yes, very powerful.
Wow.
Also very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Also very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What can I tell you about angels?
Yeah, I'm all ears.
Oh my gosh, there's so much that we could say about
yes.
them, especially the that angel who fell,
yes,
Lucifer.
Yep.
When all of the angels, as beautiful as they are, who serve God without end, were given for one moment the great gift that we have always from conception until our last breath. That great gift of freedom, of liberty, to make choices, free will. The angels were given this for one moment to decide whether they would continue serving or not serving. And St. Thomas Aquinas
mm-hmm.
Writes a reflection. He theorizes. Mm-hmm. He's not saying that this is the truth of the matter because he can't prove it. But according to him, after giving it much thought and much prayer and contemplation, he surmises that God gave the angels a glimpse of what he intended to create in man, in the world, the universe beyond his heaven and beyond his angels, all of those choirs of angels, that he was intent on creating a universe and creating man. And also the angels, incredibly intelligent, I mean, far more than intelligent than we can possibly imagine, understood what this entailed. And they also understood that God was intent on sending his only begotten son. The Father would send his only son to redeem
that creature man.
Aquinas says that when this knowledge reached Lucifer, he began the revolt and said, I will not serve.
It was
that knowledge, because all of a sudden there was someone more important than he.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
It is beautifully written.
The psychology of this, the psychology
makes sense.
Is rich.
Oh, yeah.
Is rich, rich. Anyway, there's somebody more important than he.
That's right.
And he didn't like that at all.
Nope.
And that began the rebellion. But going back to the question, they exist not only to give glory and praise to God, mm-hmm. and to serve God in charity, but God also dispatches them to every human being. He dispatches at least one that we know of to every human being, and those are called guardian angels.
Yes.
Why haven't you heard about them for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. I think because the new catechesis or the lack thereof,
yes.
if you'll pardon me,
yes.
has avoided this because, I don't know, I won't speculate as to why, but it's been avoided. So we have children and adults now into the third, fourth generation who have no real idea that they have a guardian angel. And what a guardian angel is it's so beautiful. It's God's extra care, his extra love for each one of us, to assign a special agent of his to watch over us and to care for us.
Right.
I think that anybody who's made it to adulthood and who looks back on his childhood, honestly, can recall at least once, I can recall several times, mm-hmm. that I should have lost my life.
Yep.
In different occasions.
Of course.
Mean, there's no accounting for how you survived. This, I think, in great part is due to our guardian angel. I really believe that.
I can believe it.
And we have from Christ's own lips the fact that we do, in fact, have a guardian angel.
Right.
A guardian angel who's with us. Look how beautiful this is. And this is almost poetry. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Who not only is with us, but who is constantly looking on the face of God while with us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is fantastic.
It is.
It's beautiful. Anyway, it's a special grace.
It is.
God never ceases to give special graces to his friends.
You know, Father, one of the Fatima prayers is called the pardon prayer, that the angel who appeared to the children called himself the angel of peace and the angel of Portugal. He taught them the following prayer, and I'd like to pray this and ask everyone, this is such a beautiful prayer to pray. It's not hard to memorize. It's, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. And it's a simple prayer to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Let's face it, Father Murr, lots of people are, they stamp as Catholic, but they don't believe in the real presence. And I think the angel is encouraging us to make reparation for that by this prayer. And then, Father Murr, there's one more prayer, the angel prayer. It says, Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore thee profoundly. I offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world. Here it comes, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, indifferences whereby he is offended. and through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg thee the conversion of poor sinners. Whoa, Father Murr, that's a powerful prayer.
Let me join that wow. Let me join that wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well,
yes.
Father Murr, we're going to come right back. We've got an interview coming up on the movie. It's a documentary called TheTrumpIKnow.com. Also, I want to pray for President Trump and the First Lady, who we understand have
Absolutely.
The COVID-19. And let's face it, over 99% of the people are going to recover. But we can pray for all those who are sick, not just the President and the First Lady. And Father Murr, I know that in the coming weeks, when we have you back in about 2 weeks, we're going to have some big news with more books that you've written. I just want to make a plug for Father Charles Murr. If you want to read some of his books, just Google on the internet or go to what bookstore can they buy these at? Is it on Amazon, Father?
Just on Amazon. Just go to Amazon. The newest one that's out, which I think is a kick.
Yeah,
it's fun. They're short stories.
Good.
Is Memoirs of an Unwed Father.
Oh, there you go. What a title. Ah, I love it. All right, when we come back, we'll do that. And also, I just want everybody to know we have about another 10 days of painting the church, the rectory and the offices and the studio. We're still a little bit short. If people want to make a donation, go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and just say for the painting of the church. And when we come back, you'll have a very interesting interview with two young men who are involved with this movie called TheTrumpIKnow.com. You're listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is filling in for Jess Romero. When we come back, I think this is going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I love to say I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. I have great hope because I now know about a new documentary called The Trump I Know documentary. And I have Joe Knobb and I have Daryl Lever on the line here talking about this new documentary. Joe, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, Terry, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, it's glad to have you. And I know that this is a watershed documentary that will debut on a digital profile platform October 1st. So it's coming quick. And I just want to ask you gentlemen, what the heck is this movie or this documentary all about? And also, how did the making of this doc, what's the genesis of this documentary? How did it take place?
So Daryl and I, our last movie was called Unplanned, which thanks for helping support that and get the word out for that. We greatly appreciate
our
that.
Our pleasure.
And during the marketing for Unplanned, had the opportunity to meet a lot of folks in D.C., met with Vice President Pence, and also got introduced and met with Laura Trump. And with Laura, you know, when I met with her up in New York, I just really didn't really know much about her story, her journey, and just really appreciated who she is, where she comes from, and how just normal and humble she is. She used to be a producer for Inside Edition, so we kind of had that in entertainment world in common. So we just stayed in touch, and then it wasn't until early this year, back in January, actually I was sitting on the couch with my 10-year-old daughter looking at some social media. A picture of Laura came up with holding her two dogs. My daughter loves dogs. So I explained to my daughter who Laura is and how great of a person she is, and just kind of got the idea. You know, we never hear these stories about the first family, just real authentic stories about who they are and what they're fighting for, and having the appreciation for knowing that they're, you know, fighting for life. I just called Laura up and said, hey, what if we help tell your story and the other women in your family? And then she started telling us how great the women are that are in the administration, working for the campaign. So together we decided, let's do it. Let's go ahead and tell this story. And we were able to get started in June because we had to wait for COVID to somewhat get behind us so we could start filming. So that's how the story began. It was really with Laura Trump.
Wow. Well, now let me bring your partner, Daryl, on the line to answer this question. As you were just mentioning, Joe, about that your focus on women around the Trump, what actually drew you to this? Was it just being inspired by meeting her? And I'm going to ask Daryl to make a comment about the women around Trump. Daryl, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, it started with Laura, and it really started with us going to her house with our little crew and filming up in New York and filming her and her, you know, Eric and her kids and her dogs and walk around the golf course with her and whatnot. And, It kind of went from there. It was, hey, you know, you should talk to this woman and you should meet this woman and, you know, women in a campaign. And then from the women in a campaign, it came to, you know, the women in on staff at the administration, you know, people like Kellyanne Conway and Kim McEnany.
Oh, big name.
And, you know, as a result, we got to film both of them and go into Kaylee's home in Florida. And then from there, meet her awesome husband and her just amazing parents who made us feel like we've known him for 20 years, like we're family, you know, the way they welcomed us into their home as well. It was really incredible. Wow. And you know, we just kept meeting these people. It you would think you'd go into this with this amazing plan, right? Here's the list of people and here's the dates we're going to interview. And well, it'd be great if it was like that, but it wasn't like that at all. It was some of the people we interviewed, it was literally, you know, Joe's at the White House. And Kaylee would text him and say, hey, you know, Brooke's available or Alyssa's available. You should go interview her too. You know, so we just kept meeting more and more people. And just the quality of these women, you know, that just how amazing they are, just bright. A lot of them very faith filled.
Yeah.
A lot of them talked about how they literally pray as they walk on the campus every day, you know, the White House campus, you know, praying about for the country and for the president and for just how privileged they are to be able to serve this way. And,
wow.
It was really an experience to meet these women. And then of course, Pastor Paula White came, she's, you know, head of faith initiative for the president. And, you know, she's a pastor. So of course, you know, she prays with the president regularly and breaks bread with him. And, so yeah, it was just a lot of really impressive women that we met along the way.
Wow, Daryl. Now I'm going to ask Joe. Joe, there's so much hatred for President Trump, and 90% of the media, I see it, 90% of the media coverage is biased. Now, did the women talk about that? That's for you, Joe.
Yes, they. The women definitely talked about the biases of the media because it, you know, it just it frustrates them. You know, some of these women have known the Trump family for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we interviewed some that have worked for him for a long period of time, and they know the real Donald Trump that they've known for decades. And amazingly, they kept reminding us as the film team that, you know, before he ran for president, he was a cool guy to hang around. Everybody wanted to be around him, wanted him at the parties. And it was that day that he comes down the escalator as a, you know, Republican nominee that's when everything had changed. All the media turned against him. Mm-hmm. So they are, you know, to a lot of these women, he is a dearest friend, you know, big brother, father. I mean, like these really important roles in these women's lives. And they take it very personal, the way that he is treated. So for us to give them the opportunity to share, I think it really meant a lot to the first family and to these women, just to have an outlet to express why they fight for the president and fight for this country as Amen. Hard as they do.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. Daryl, here's my question. In the film, some of the themes, thanks be to God, are prayer, faith, and he surrounded himself with some of the most unabashed faithful women, like Mercedes and Kayla and Paula White Kane. What is said about the president's life of faith? People ask that all the time. What's going on with President Trump's faith?
I think the most revealing one was with Paula. She's known him since 2001, mm-hmm. and he actually sought her out. Apparently he watches quite a bit of Christian television. Okay. And he saw her back in 2001 and called her office and said, hey, you know, love to have a meeting. And it took Paula a while to believe that it was real. You know, I mean, it was literally, you know, Donald Trump's on the phone, and her assistant said, you know, Donald Trump's on the phone. And she's like, yeah, right. Donald Trump's on the phone. Because, you know, back then it would have been, you know, right before The Apprentice, but when he was still really well known and a bunch of TV shows and all kinds of stuff. And so he was more of a celebrity than anything else then. And, her times of praying with him and really seeking, he would come to her and say, I really need to know what the Lord's saying on this. And they would spend a lot of time in prayer, you know, pursuing it. And it was very, and in her estimation, it was very sincere. It wasn't just like another way of finding something out or, well, you know, I'm going to make my own mind up, but I go ahead and tell me what you think God is saying. Like, he really, really earnestly wanted to hear from the Lord.
Wow. That's fantastic and very encouraging to hear. Joe, you also, we said before that you produced Unplanned, and there was a battle around that film in terms of media coverage and exposure. I remember being blocked out. You know, are you experiencing the same with this documentary because you're showing Trump in the light of a positive experience? What's going on with that?
You know, I will say from, we had a very short period of time to prepare for this project.
Yeah.
And there has been a headwind of spiritual warfare, I would say, from the beginning, from all angles. From funding being committed and not coming through, from, you know, scheduling, from, you know, COVID issues, you name it, we have come across it. And now that we're in the, you know, we kind of try to keep it as quiet as we could while we were filming and producing.
Yeah.
But now when we came to the surface, it has been not surprising, but just definitely disappointing the amount of attacks, even individuals on our team have taken. So God has given us, you know, we've averaged 12 people on our team, and we feel like the, you know, kind of the 12 misfits that Christ chose when he had his journey on the earth here. And, but everyone is, I mean, their skills, I put them up against anybody. And, but yeah, there's been a lot of really just individual attacks. And I think that's just the attack, Satan's way of just trying to keep everybody from doing what we're supposed to be doing at this phase. I really feel like this message needs to be heard. And I think this president, mostly for the life issue, which Darryl and I are very passionate about, he needs to stay in office.
Great. And before I ask the next question, I want people to visit thetrumpiknow.com for the trailer and bios on this filmmakers here, because you got to see the trailer, and then October 1st, watch the whole thing online. Okay, Darryl, big question. What do you think people will discover about President Trump in watching this documentary? What are they going to get out of this?
Well, I think it's the personal stories. I mean, these are women that like Joe said, have known him upwards of 20 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a really great story that comes from, we got into the business world too. So there's a woman named Carrie Woolard, who was one of the very few women to be the general manager of a winery in America. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's the general manager of the Trump Winery and in kind of central Virginia. And we got to go interview her, and it was a great change of pace. Rather than being in office buildings and, you know, campaign offices, it was on this beautiful vineyard, and we have amazing drone shots, and you know, really, really, it's kind of a stunning place. But she told these stories about the gentleman that he is, and how just respectful he is of her being the boss, even though it's, you know, it's his company, right? I mean, he owns Trump, got his name on it, right? It's Trump Winery, but when she would walk around with him and stuff and introduce him to people, how he was so respectful to her and would really even ask her permission to do things on his own property that, you know, he doesn't need to, you know?
Amazing.
It was those sorts of stories. I mean, there's lots of them, but it was those sorts of stories that really kind of help you to peer into, you know, this is when the cameras aren't on, nobody's there, nobody's watching. It's just, you know, a handful, you know, three people walking around, and wow. And that's her impression of him. So it was, you know, obviously the opposite of what any mainstream media is telling you about him.
Boy.
So it was super encouraging to hear those kinds of stories.
That's awesome. Joe, here comes my question to you. You interviewed the president as well. Give us your take. What's President Trump like one-on-one?
So great story when he came into the room. Laura Trump was going to join us for the interview, and she was running a few minutes behind. So we shared that with him. He said, great, now I have time to tie my shoe.
Got it. Joe, so, hold on a second. This is a good teaser for us. We got to take a quick break. I want to hear your story about meeting President Trump one-on-one. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We have one thought, and that is to introduce you to Jesus and his bride, the church. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't turn that dial. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tear and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I'm interviewing Joe Knobb and Daryl Lever, and we're talking about a documentary called TheTrumpIKnow.com. And before the break, I thought, Joe, you interviewed President Trump as well, and you were just in the middle of telling us how you were meeting him. I guess someone was late, and you were going to have this conversation with him. Continue, please. I'm on the edge of my chair.
So Laura Trump was going to be in the interview with us, and she was running a few minutes late. And so the president was excited that he had time to sit down and tie his shoe. So for me, I think part of it was his God's way of just like calming me down as I sat down with him to prepare for the interview. But throughout our time with him and then throughout our time with all of these amazing women, I think what really spoke to me was, you know, he was 70 years old when he was elected the president. Mm-hmm. And he had a very, you know, successful, great life leading up to it, where there's a lot of folks who with his status would be looking to kind of enjoy, you know, the next, you know, couple of decades of his life. And he chose the one position and knew that he would be criticized, scrutinized, mm-hmm. probably at historic levels. I think he felt that during the campaign. So for me, you know, to understand that his passion for this country, mm-hmm. his passion for the America that he grew up in, mm-hmm. it's real.
Yep.
And he is so passionate about it. He wants his kids to have that same opportunity, his grandkids to have that same opportunity. So he was willing to whatever arrows and stuff were going to come his way, he was willing to take that on for the fight to keep America, the America that you and I love.
I love it. Daryl, my question is, I'm excited to see the documentary, but how can people see the film? What's the process?
Yeah, well, in this you know, the world that we currently live in, where it's difficult to go to a theater anyway, yeah. we're making it really, really easy for you. Okay. So all you got to do is go to thetrumpiknow.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go in there, not only can you watch the trailer and you know, find all of our social media hit points and stuff, but you can pre-order it. For October 1st, you can pre-order either a DVD, if that's still the way you watch your media, or you can stream it right there starting October 1st, and you can pre-order that right now. So yeah, just thetrumpiknow.com.
Excellent. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us here at Virgin Most Powerful. We want to promote thetrumpiknow.com. The trailer is there now, folks. I would encourage you to watch the film. It's a documentary, and find out what President Trump is really like. I think the news about President Trump so many times is so negative that it's going to be refreshing to just let him speak for himself. Gentlemen, thanks again for joining us, and we hope we can promote this film in the future, and I hope many, many souls are going to watch this and be blessed by it. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
God love you both. Take care. Wow, was that a great interview, folks? That's what I call two Christian men on fire for the Lord. And Jess, I think that we need more films like that. We need more documentaries that just tell the facts rather than fiction. This is real. Thanks again. All right, back live now. That recorded about 3 days ago for Father Murr, but thetrumpiknow.com, I encourage people to check it out. It's in the theaters. Well, it's actually online if you go to that website. Father Murr, before I talk to you about what's going on up in San Francisco, because you live up there and being an eyewitness, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now, if I can, Mr. Engineer. See if I can get my Fulton Sheen choo-choo train. There it is. Full Sheen ahead. And Father Murr, it's going to be tied into what people did out in San Francisco just on the first bringing between up to 3,000 people came out and prayed. Here's a Bishop Sheen quote on prayer. He says, "Prayer begins by talking to God, but ends by listening to Him. In the face of absolute truth, silence is the soul's language." I'm going to repeat that last couple words. Silence is the soul's language. You know, Father Murr, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but have we had too many go-goes and not enough come-comes, as Fulton Sheen would say? It seems that the idea of spending time before the Blessed Sacrament, quiet time, would probably heed all of us. Is that a fair statement?
I think people are scared to death of silence.
You nailed it.
I think a lot of people are scared to death of silence,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are scared to death of being alone in silence.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely spot on. And this is First Friday, so I want to encourage, our church is going to be open. We're having a funeral right now, but we'll have the church open for our doors, and you can come after probably about 1:30. We'll have the doors back open for adoration. But I want to ask you, Father Murr, it seems like certain bishops and archbishops are, after 7 months of kind of like being quiet and just going along with the closing of churches, not just Catholic churches, all churches, it looks like the Archbishop Coeur de Lion, who we talked about earlier this week, is saying, look, this is not good. This is you're ridiculing God by not allowing us to have our churches open. So what happened is a friend of ours, Eva Montaigne, up in San Francisco, works with Ignatius Press. She helped organize thousands of people to walk in procession, praying their rosary, to try and communicate to the mayor that we want our churches open. And what was interesting, Father Murr, is the day before this event, it was all publicized, the San Francisco mayor finally eased some of the restrictions to access worship services. And so I just find that interesting. The article tells me how, you know, several parishes got together. Father Joe Ilo, one of the priests that I knew as a young teenager, I knew him many years ago, great guy. He fired the troops up. But Father Murr, tell us what you saw or what's going on that up in San Francisco that's kind of firing people up to take their faith out onto the streets.
Boy, that's a question. That's a question. First of all, we're blessed with an outstanding archbishop. Archbishop Coeur de Lion is a very good man. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
He understands things, and he follows a correct Catholic direction mm-hmm. in everything. That's really remarkable, and it's very good, and it's very welcome. I can just tell you this.
Tell me.
Recently, as of recent, everybody that I know and people that I don't know that well, everyone knows the name of the Archbishop of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Few could give you the name of the mayor.
That's true. I have to look at the article.
It is true. Well, I had to look up who the mayor was.
London Breed.
No idea.
Yeah, I'd never heard that name before.
Yeah. Well, this is the way politics run here in California, in particular in San Francisco. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
the Archbishop took a stand, and again, thanks to many people behind him, he felt the support of people behind him. I think a lot of times our bishops and archbishops and cardinals, our hierarchy, our priests, don't act because they don't feel the support of people with mm-hmm. them or, you know, bolstering them in a correct stance.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of that. We have prelates and we have priests, pastors who feel alone. And in this case, Eva Montaigne, who, as you know her very
mm-hmm.
well,
I do,
all good friends of hers,
mm-hmm.
a remarkable woman, organized something to simply say to the Archbishop, no, you do have people who support you. We are behind you,
yep.
and we want our centers of worship, our churches, reopened.
Amen.
This is absurd. This is absurd to continue this way. He took that and moved with it, feeling the support of those behind him. It was a beautiful coming together of laity and clergy to support this, and actually, look at this, miracle of miracles. It was effective.
Amen.
It worked. You know,
yep.
often we pray for things, Well, yeah, a lot of times they what we're praying for comes true. Yes. And this did. So it's very good. It's very good.
Well, let me just ask this, Father. I'm in Los Angeles, as you know, the largest diocese in the entire country, twice the size of New York or Chicago, 5 million Catholics. And unfortunately, I pray for my Archbishop Gomez, because there hasn't been a sound out of him. He seems to be just allowing the governor and the mayor of Los Angeles to continue to close our churches. And I want to pray that he will follow the good lead of Archbishop Cordeleon and fire the troops up, because I believe that there's a loss of faith happening right now, at a bigger than ever right now, Father, because so many people are not going to church to visit Christ. So many people aren't going to confession now. They're not going to Mass. I think of the spiritual effect of closing the churches. And if I was, let's say, on the other side of the fence, let's say anti-Catholic or even Satan, this is a great victory for him to keep everybody away from visiting our Lord and receiving our Lord and receiving mercy of the confession. It seems to me that there's some diabolical actions taking place in this move by our secular world. Am I on to something?
I think so, and I think it's really impossible mm-hmm. to measure evil or to measure good.
Mm-hmm.
We can guess at it, but
yes.
It's impossible to measure. I think when churches are eventually reopened completely,
yes.
you're going to be able to measure the damage that was done.
Yeah, I think
because
you're right.
I don't see people coming back
nope.
to Mass and to the sacraments as before. We've lost so many people. Just we've lost them. But I think this is even more detrimental, because we lost those who remained. We've lost a great portion of them. You're going to be able to measure it to some degree
yeah.
when things are reopened. Unfortunately, we have a lot of our clergy
mm-hmm.
who are called to be pastors.
Yeah, shepherds,
to
right?
lead.
Yes.
Shepherds, right? And we have a lot of bishops.
Yes.
Our bishops, we don't hear their voices.
Wow.
Remember, our Lord talks about this as sheep. The sheep know the voice of the pastor. Oh,
yep.
Really?
Yep.
Father, the pastor has to speak so that they know his voice, right?
Father Murr, when we come back, I want you to share a story about a cardinal in China, and it relates to what he had to do when the flock was being attacked by communism. And I think it applies to us here that our shepherds here need to lay their lives down for the sheep. When we come back, the story Father Murr is going to tell will knock you off your horse. I mean, you'll never forget this story. I guarantee it. Come back and hear it on the Terry and Jesse Show in our last segment. We'll be right back.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. My headsets are not working. Let's see if I got another set. Are you there? Terry and Jesse, we're here with Father Charles Murr. But before I ask him to tell the story about the Cardinal, I would like to just remind you at 5 o'clock today, we have a special show that's a premiere. It's going to be Father Altman and Bishop Strickland for a full hour. We're going to have Bishop Strickland and Father Murr, you know, Father Altman, talking about what happened to him regarding his situation with his homily and how 850,000 people watched it. And by golly, out of those 850,000 people, they were all saying, "Wow, this is a priest who speaks the truth in charity." And then Bishop Strickland is the only bishop who actually said, "Good job." And so we're going to put those two together. It'll be at 5 o'clock this afternoon on our YouTube channel, which is Virgin Most Powerful, or on our website or on our app. So, Father Murr, just to set the record straight, you're going to tell a story regarding a cardinal who was in China in 1949 when the communists came in. Tell us what happened, because I think this is really could apply to our own prelates, but then give the significance of why they wear the red vestments, the red cap. Go ahead, Father.
Sure. This story, let me just preface it a bit.
Sure.
The story was told to me by Mother Pasqualina, who was private secretary to Pope Pius XII for almost 42 years.
Yes.
She knew him extremely well and was very loyal to him, and considers him a saint, as do I.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Pasqualina told me the story of Pius XII wanted to internationalize the College of Cardinals. He wanted more non-Italians made cardinals. If you remember, in those years, almost every cardinal was an Italian.
Right.
Well, he wanted the Church universal represented. So one of the major steps that he took was to create a cardinal. In those days, it was called Peking. In Beijing, mm-hmm. A Chinese cardinal. And I'm forgetting exactly the man's name. I believe it was Kim. He was made archbishop, and he was named cardinal. Well, this to the Pope was a great joy, because it was for the world. I mean, the news of it was kind of stunning.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, well received. He made this man a cardinal. And everything was wonderful. The man came to Rome, then would return to China. Then the Chinese Communist Revolution took place. Mm. When it did, days later, in all the confusion in China, you can imagine.
Sure.
Days later, this cardinal showed up in St. Peter's Square.
Oh my goodness!
At the Portone di Bronzo.
Mm-hmm.
Di Bronzo, and he was asking for an audience with the Pope. Well, it was told to Pius XII that the new cardinal of Peking was downstairs, and of course everyone knew about the revolution that was taking place at that moment. imagine this. I'm not going to get into a comparison of what's happening today, but just let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Under Pius XII, to come to any arrangement with the communists of any sort was unthinkable. Unthinkable. Mm. Unthinkable. Would never have happened. He had zero tolerance for atheistic communism.
Good.
You don't deal with these people, right?
Right.
And he was very, very staunch on this. And everyone knew it. Well, this man appeared and he reported he wanted to see the Pope. Well, Pius XII said, what is he doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being received by the Pope, Pius XII called in Mother Pasqualina, this German Bavarian nun,
yes,
who was his confidant and his secretary, and said, you go see him. Or not you go see him, you receive him. Let him come up here.
Mm-hmm.
But you receive him. I won't receive him. The Pope is not going to receive him.
Wow.
You receive him. And you tell him, and first of all, ask him why he's here. He'll probably tell you that he's here because he was lucky enough to save his life and get out of China.
Mm-hmm.
Then ask him, why did he leave China? Shouldn't he be with his people?
Of course.
Wasn't that the reason he was named bishop to begin with? And then on top of all of that, he said to Mother Pasqualina, then ask him, does he remember the significance of the red that he's wearing as a cardinal?
Right.
He promised, the Pope always spoke in the papal we, he promised us that he would shed his blood to defend the faith. Ask him why he's dressed in red. Where is that blood being shed? And just to make it clear,
sure,
the Pope refused to receive him in audience.
Good.
That was it.
Yep.
It was finished. Because he was called to be a shepherd, and when he was asked, he promised that he would give his life,
right,
the blood of his life in defense of the church, and he did not. The Pope never spoke to him again.
Wow.
That was it.
What a great story.
Yeah, look, the thing is this. Res vel est, vel non est. A thing either is or it isn't.
That's right.
It's real simple.
Yeah, it does.
It's real simple.
Sure.
This man said, yes, I accept being a cardinal. I accept the responsibility of the office,
right,
a very heavy responsibility. The first time he's put to the test, he runs away. That's unacceptable.
Yep.
No. And it should be unacceptable also today. We have, you know, just a few minutes ago, Terry, you and I were talking about why our bishops don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
They really should. They should be encouraged to speak.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if they don't speak, maybe they should be replaced.
I agree with you.
They're supposed to be speaking. This
yes.
is what, this is their job. It's amazing. Anyway, I'm going to get myself in more
trouble. No, this is true. And you know what, Father? You're not just getting yourself in trouble. That's a fact. That's why even Cardinal Burke, who we both know, he makes comments that he's going to get in trouble. But he said, U.S. Cardinal, but Cardinal Burke says Biden, who's running to be the next president, isn't a Catholic in good standing and should not receive Holy Communion. And then you got another archbishop in Denver, Colorado. His name is Samuel J. Aquila, and he says, it is not possible to be a Catholic in good standing and support abortion. And this is like, so they're coming out, and I know that they're going to pay a price. Bishop Strickland, who we're going to have on at 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time today, special.
Another great man.
Yeah, he's willing to, he's paying a price, but he came out and supported Father Altman. No one else supported him from the hierarchy. Everybody kept quiet. Now, I just say this because there's an interview going on at 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time today. It's a premiere. In other words, it's brand new. And I think our listeners are going to be like blown away. I think 40,000 people saw the YouTube clip of it. So I'm sure they're going to want to see this. It's going to be a great one-hour show. And I think, Father Murr, we're looking for leadership. I think Monsignor George Kelly wrote a book back in 79 where is the church going? He said, and the battle, the name of the book was The Battle for the American Church. But he said, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. That's why we need to be praying for our bishops, our priests, to speak out. Because I'm telling you right now, as a layman, I see that the shepherds are hiding in many cases and not wanting to confront the secular media or secular, politicians, because they want to keep in good, you know, graces. But, I mean, I'm saying this right now. This is a time now, it's our Catholic moment to stand up and speak the truth in charity. And I think about what Our Lady said, Father Murr, at Fatima, that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. This is First Friday, Saturday's coming tomorrow. This is a time where we can pray for our leaders and the church. And Father Murr, you know Monsignor William Smith, who taught seminary in New York. I think you know him.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
And he, an outstanding man.
Yes, he taught me my moral theology through cassette tapes back in the 80s and 90s. And he said that one of the challenges, and you're a priest, single, I mean, unmarried, that a lot of times priests want to be liked, and they're afraid to speak out because they're going to be told that, you know, they're going to be yelled at or said that, you know, Father, why don't you just be nice to me and not tell me those tough things? Is that a fair statement, Father, that most priests generally just don't want to take heat, or is that just a presumption on my part?
Terry, I think most human beings.
Yes, human beings.
Most human beings don't want to take heat. All of us want to be liked. We want to be loved, right? We just do. But remember, we took a decision as priests.
Yes.
To follow a particular God-man named Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Right? And
Amen.
He said quite clearly, when the world hates you,
that's right.
If the world hates you, when the world hates you, remember, it hated me before you.
Yep. That is
now,
so true.
Now, you want to be a member of this or not? We said yes. Well, that's part of the criteria to be hated by the world.
That's right. You should always
be leery of somebody who's loved by everyone. Be
exactly.
Careful.
Well, you're just mimicking Fulton Sheen when he said, if I were not a Catholic and I were looking for a true church in the world today, I would look for the one church which did not get along well with the world. In other words, I would look for the church which the world hates. And I think that's very true.
Terry,
yep.
Seriously,
mm-hmm.
I'd like you to read that again.
Sure.
Would you do me the favor?
Yeah, I'm happy to. If I were not a Catholic, Bishop Sheen said, I would, and we're looking for the true church in the world today, I would look for the one church which did not get along well with the world. In other words, I would look for the church which the world hates. Wow. Fulton Sheen, full Sheen ahead here, Father Murr. We'll have you back in a couple weeks to talk more about your book and other things. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr, get his books by going to Amazon, just typing in Father Charles Murr, and you'll see he's got some great books. Up next, The Bible with the Barbers. Yes, I'm going to go to Studio A with my faithful bride. I can see her through the window. Boy, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a millionaire. Hey, Father Murr, what state should we be living in?
Absolutely, the state of grace.
Amen. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. I want to say I hope this weekend is a beautiful weekend for you, and I hope you get closer to Jesus and become a saint. What else is there at becoming a saint? That's the key to life. One day at a time, one moment at a time. We're living the sacrament of the present moment. God love you all. Thanks for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time, Father Altman and Bishop Strickland. Up next, Bible with the Barbers.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.